to 2 Chronicles chapter 33. 2 Chronicles chapter 33. The title of my sermon this morning is God Can Turn Any Life Around. God can turn any life around. We're going to be looking at 2 Chronicles 33 verses 1 through 18. You know, do we need a turnaround specialist? I think all of us at one time or another would wish our circumstances would turn around. We would wish we might be in a different place than we are right now. We might wish that we were in a different job. We just want something to change in our lives. And we want to have our life turned around. You know, there are people that make a living out of going into companies and saying, this is how you can turn your business around. This is how you could go to the next level. This is how you could achieve and beat all your competition. You need to do all these things. They come in with all this advice. Some of it works, some of it doesn't. Do you have some things in your life this morning that you wish it was turned around? Do you have something, maybe it's a job situation, maybe it's a family situation, but you say, I wish that this would change. I wish all these things would change. You know, the real issue is that oftentimes we want God to change our circumstances, but we don't want God to change us. And the best thing in order to have God turn around your life is to have you turn around in Him. And so we need to understand that God is the turnaround specialist. See, God is in the business of turnarounds. In way of introduction, I want to share four verses out of Isaiah chapter 61. This is where Jesus goes in the temple and he picks up the Bible. It just so happens that it was there. No, he went there because he wanted to show people that he was going to turn the world around. He was going to turn them all around. So Jesus starts reading here, and this is a prophecy in Isaiah. We'll get there Wednesday night sometime in the future, but not this week. It's way down in the Bible, in that book. It says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. We just talked about that, about his baptism. Holy Spirit comes down on him. Because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. You know, that is what God anointed Christ to do. That's what we're anointed to do too. To do this, he hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. God does not want you to be brokenhearted this morning. He wants us to cast all of our cares on Him, for He cares for us. He wants us to love Him with all of our heart. He wants to take away your broken heart. To proclaim liberty to the captives. Sometimes you feel that you're like a hamster on a treadmill, just getting nowhere. Maybe captive by your situation, maybe captive by your job, maybe captive by something else in your life. And said, so I need to get out of this. God can take you this, take you there. The Bible says this. Christ said this. He says, who the Son of Man has set free, he is what? Free indeed. He said, proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Not only does he say you can be free, he makes you free. He makes you free. And in verse 2, this is what we should do. To claim the acceptable year of the Lord. When is it time to do right? All the time. When is it time to proclaim the gospel? All the time till Jesus comes. And the day of vengeance of our God to comfort all that mourn. He wants to take away your hurts. He wants to take away your hurts. In verse 3, and then look at the turnarounds that Christ lists here, that God lists here. He says, to appoint them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes. Calvary's love will take broken lives and then turn them into something meaningful. Calvary's love will heal the brokenhearted. That life has cast aside, that the world has trampled on and cast aside. He can make that turnaround. The oil of joy for mourning. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Y'all dragged down today? Some of you dragged down today by the cares and concerns and all the stuff going on. Man, we've all had tough times over the last year, month, weeks. He wants to give you the garment of praise because you know something? God's in control. Even when things are out of control, God's still in control. And they might be, for what? That they might be called trees of righteousness. You know what a tree is? Something you can see. Something that will stand. Something that will stand in the winds of the storm. And folks, if we don't have a turnaround in our lives, we can't be these trees of righteousness that Isaiah is talking about. The planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. And they shall build the old wastes. See, over time, the nation of Israel has been destroyed. Over time, people have been knocked down and turned into rubble. God wants to rebuild that. They shall raise up the former desolations. And they shall repair the waste cities, the desolation of many generations. You know, some people say, well, how did we get here? It's taken time. But you know something? God's faithful. And with my God, He'll take us all out of all these things. So God is in the business of turnarounds. Well, this passage this morning is over King Manasseh. You know, 1 Kings, 2 Kings, 2 Chronicles, 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles talks about the kings. 1 and 2 Kings talk about the kings of the northern kingdom. Kind of emphasize there. They do talk about the southern stuff real quick. Southern kings. But Chronicles focuses on the southern kings and talks a little bit about the northern kings. But King Manasseh was the oldest son of Hezekiah. He reigned for 55 years. And there's a turning point in Israel with him. But then there's a turning point in his life. And so we're going to look at this guy's reign and what he started out as, and then coming to this defining point in his life, and then what happened after he had that defining moment. Basically, it's what God can do in your life. The first thing we need to understand is that Manasseh needed a turnaround. You know why? Because he's the king over Jerusalem. He is on the throne of David. One in which God said, if you just follow my words, you'll be on the throne of David forever. That lineage would never fail. That the throne would never fail. But you know what? Why Manasseh needed a turnaround? Because basically he did not respect the position that God gave him. You know, see, we're justified in Christ. God gives us a position in Him. Do we respect that position? Do we use it for God's glory? Or do we squander it? Manasseh squandered it. In verses 1 and 2 here it says, Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. He's one of the longest, if not the longest, reigning king in Jerusalem. But here's the point. Here's the guy out of the lineage of David. Here's the guy that sent the bloodline of Christ, the genealogy of Christ, and this is what he does. But he did that which was what? Evil in the sight of the Lord, like unto the abomination of the heathen. You know, we're supposed to be a peculiar people, a holy nation. We're supposed to be different. We're supposed to come out and not touch the unclean thing and be separate. See, God's called us with a holy calling. We sang in Sunday school, I know who I have believed and am persuaded that He is what? Able to keep that which I've committed to Him against that. God wants to make a turnaround in your life. He's given us a position in Christ. And folks, we need to respect that. We need to understand the privilege of that. We need to understand the power of that. But see, what Manasseh did is he basically scoffed at what God did for him and putting him on the throne, and he acted like just the rest of the world. He said, I didn't want to buy this. There was specific things that God said the kings needed to do, and he didn't do any of them. Folks, there's a lot of things that we're supposed to do as Christians. Do we do them? Do we do them? And he said, he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, like unto the abomination of the heathen, whom the Lord had cast out from before the children of Israel. God said, hey, I wanted us to get rid of all this stuff out of the land, not you bring it in. And folks, we as Christians need to make sure, we as believers need to make sure we're not bringing the world in. Amen. We need to be different in the world. So Manasseh needed a turnaround because he did not respect the position that God had given him. Historians say that in this 55-year reign, that Manasseh actually was co-regent with Hezekiah for 10 years. That means he ruled alongside his daddy. He should have picked up a lot of things. But in reality, everything his dad said, he just kind of rebelled against. In fact, some Jewish scholars say that he killed Isaiah. Some say that he's responsible for killing Isaiah. But the point here is that he should have known. And what Manasseh needed to turn around for is he did not respect the righteousness that his father had done. In verse 3 it says, "For he had built again," which means what? Hezekiah had tore him down. So he went and undid everything that Hezekiah had done for God. And folks, when you need a turnaround when we're undoing things that God's doing.
Right.
When you're actually being anti-God instead of pro-God. He says, "For he built again the high places which Hezekiah the father had broken down, and he reared up altars for Balaam, and made groves, and worshipped all the host of heaven," and what? Not only did he worship them, he served them. He should have been worshiping God and serving him, but he's totally 180 degrees out. So Manasseh needed to turn around because he had no respect for the position that God gave him. Manasseh needed to turn around because he did not respect the righteousness that people ahead of him had given him as a legacy. Manasseh needed to turn around because he didn't respect the house of God. Now we're kind of getting into our own chili, huh?
Yeah.
I heard a report about progressive churches, how they don't have the same view of the Bible that we do. And what's happening? People are not having respect for who God is, for what God's Word says. He did not respect the house of God. Look at verses 4 and 5 what he did. He said, "Also," so that means in addition to this, if the first part's not good, bad enough, he does this too. "Also, he built altars in the house of the Lord." See, Solomon's temple was built. It was magnificent. And some, because of some other issues, there was some disrepair on the thing, but it still stood. That was to be God, for God alone. And as you go into the court, you saw the brazen sea and you saw the lavers and everything so you could approach God. So the priest could do sacrifices and so they could approach God. And here they are in the way to approach God, in the path to approaching God. And look at what happens. "Also, he built altars in the house of the Lord, wherein the Lord had said, 'In Jerusalem shall be my name forever.' And he built altars for what? All the host of heaven." He built an altar for the sun. He built an altar for the moon. He built an altar for Jupiter. He built an altar for earth. Anything that everybody else was worshiping, he built an altar for. Folks, we don't worship what other people worship. We worship the true God.
Amen.
"And he built altars for all the host of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord." He needed a turnaround. Folks, we're also the temple of the Holy Ghost, right? Do you have altars in your life that to other gods that you don't, that God doesn't want? You need a turnaround. You need a turnaround. So he didn't respect the house of God. And then next, he didn't respect the commandments of God. Uh-oh. See, the kings were supposed to write out a copy of the law of Moses. They were supposed to know how to reign, to do all this other stuff. Not to go against them, but to follow them. He didn't have respect for the commandments of God. And look at what he did. In verse 6, and he said, "And he caused his children to pass through the fire." He sacrificed his own kids to these false gods. Folks, we sacrifice millions to false gods through abortion. The God of pleasure, the God of wantonness, the God of hedonism.
Yep.
And we sacrifice the innocence for them. Then he did all sorts of other things God said, don't do. He said, so he caused his children to pass through the fire in the valley of the son of Hinnom. He also observed times. He read horoscopes. He looked at the stars. He was an astrologer and used enchantments. He went down to tarot card readers and said, hey, how's this going? What's going on? Oh, let me read your lifeline in your hand. And used witchcraft and dealt with a familiar spirit. Not only were they foreboding, he was familiar with them. He had his own personal one. And the wizards, he wrought much evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. And if that's not enough, and he set up a carved image, the idol which he had made in the house of God, of which God had said to David and to Solomon his son, in this house and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen before all the tribes, will I put my name forever. Neither will I any more remove the foot of Israel from out of the land which I have appointed for your father. See, what people think is, well, God's promised all these promises. He's going to keep these promises. I do whatever I want to do. We're God's chosen people. He's never going to kick us out of the land. Everything's fine. God's okay with my sin. God's okay with the direction of my life. If it's not in God's direction, it's wrong.
Right.
So that they will what? Take heed to do all that I have commanded them according to the whole law and the statutes and the ordinance by the hand of Moses. See, he didn't respect his position that God had given him. He didn't respect the righteousness of his father. He basically didn't respect the commandments of God. He didn't respect the house of God. And then he needed to turn around because he didn't even respect God's own people. He didn't respect the inhabitants of the land. Folks, we should want to do the best for people, not the worst. We should want to lead people into truth, not into error. And then we need to follow the Word of God. In verses 9 and 10, so Manasseh made Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to what? Err. That means to do wrong. To go the wrong way. And to do what?
Worse
than the heathen, whom the Lord had destroyed before the children of Israel. Not forgetting God's judgment. Oh, you know what Manasseh's name means? It means forgetter. That's what his name means, is forgetter. So they forgot, just like before the flood. God said, I'm not going to strive. I'm going to give them 120 years. Noah's out there preaching for 120 years. Say, judgment's coming. Judgment's coming. When? Flood? Never say it. Never happen. Until the first time that rain started falling and the ground started giving up water. And then people changed their minds. See, the issue is, we need to understand God's judgment. We need to have God's judgment in view. But he needed to turn around because he didn't have God's judgment in view. And he caused the people to follow falsely. Isn't that the same thing that Jesus condemned the Pharisees and the scribes of doing? And then he despised God's mercy. In verse 10 it says, and the Lord spake to Manasseh. All along, don't do that. Don't do that. This is the way. Walk ye in it. This is the way. Don't do it. Look at your daddy. Look at what's going on. Look at where you are. Look at your position. Don't do that. No, I'll do my own thing. And to his what? People. But they would not listen. They would not hearken. See, you need to turn around when you're not listening to God. Period. You need to turn around when you don't have respect for God's word. You need to turn around when you don't have respect for God's ministry. You need to turn around when you don't have respect for God's house. You need to turn around when you have respect for God's people. Manasseh needed a turnaround. So since Manasseh wasn't looking to God, God got his attention. Manasseh had a defining moment. I hope we've all had defining moments in our lives. I hope the first one is that you met Jesus Christ, your Savior. I hope we have a deciding moment in your life when you've been walking away from God, as some of I know are. And you say, I'm going to give up and turn back to God and rededicate your life. God can give you a turnaround. In verses 11 and 12 here, it says, wherefore, for all this, didn't like the position, didn't like the righteousness your daddy did, didn't have respect for the house of God, didn't have respect for the commandments of God, didn't have respect for the word of God or the people of God, caused everybody to err, you allow wickedness to come in, you sow what you reap, or you reap what you sow. It says, wherefore, because of this, the Lord had brought upon them the captains of the host of the king of Assyria. His daddy had a whole bunch of run-ins with those dudes, and God had delivered them. See, if you don't follow God, you won't get his deliverance. The host of king of Assyria, which took Manasseh among the thorns. Christ said in Matthew 13, he says, here's the parable of seed and the sower. He says, there's seed thrown in amongst the thorns, and the cares of this world choke the word out and becomes unfruitful. Folks, don't let the word choke. Don't let the world choke out the word in your life. And bound him with fetters and carried him in Babylon. You know, God's going to do whatever it takes to get your attention. So he took Manasseh from as high as he could as king to as low as he could as a prisoner. And when he was in affliction, he besought the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly before the Lord of his God of his father. Folks, don't wait till a crisis come into your life before you start calling on God. You need to walk with him daily. You need to turn around. You need a defining moment. Say, from this point forward, I'm going to surrender to him. He's going to be Lord of my life. Not just my Savior, but Lord. See, captivity got his attention. Is God getting your attention this morning? Is his word getting your attention this morning? And then his contrition, because he was in great distress, he sought the Lord. He humbled himself greatly. He was a contrite person. Contrition brought him to God. In Psalm chapter 34, verse 18, says, the Lord is nigh. That means he's near. He wants to be near you right now. He wants you to be near him. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a what? A broken heart, because he'll trade it for praise. He'll take mourning and he'll trade it for joy. He doesn't want to change your circumstances. He wants to change you. Because if he changes your you'll look at your circumstances different. And you may not even get into the circumstances in the first place. This morning in class, we were talking about, why do people just sin? Because you don't love God enough. Because if you love God enough, you wouldn't do those things. Contrition brought him to God. In Psalm 34, verse 18, the Bible says this, "As the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and save as such as be of a contrite spirit." So Manasseh needed a turnaround. Do you need a turnaround this morning? Manasseh was brought to a place in his life where he had a defining moment. And that moment changed him. Now, in the rest of this passage, we see that Manasseh had a definite turnaround. In verse 13, it says, "And he prayed unto him, and he was entreated of him, and heard his supplication and brought him again to Jerusalem into his kingdom, then Manasseh knew that the Lord, he was God. See, the first thing is that he experienced the restoration of God. See, that's the turnaround that God can make. To trade you joy for mourning, to beauty for ashes. He gives you the opposite. He wants to give you life abundantly. Okay? Joy unspeakable. A peace that passeth understanding. So the first thing is he experienced the restoration of God, and then he knew the reality of God. God became his Lord then. God became, he says, the Lord, he was God. All that stuff he's doing, he said, I've really messed up. I am so glad that God is a God of mercy. And a God of second chance, third chance, fourth chance. But folks, he wants to have a defining moment in your life. He wants to make a difference in your life. So he experienced the restoration of God. He knew the reality of God. And then we see that he had other symptoms or other indications of this definite turnaround because he realized the danger from physical enemies. He says, I don't want to go back there anymore. I don't want the Assyrians to do this anymore. I don't want to be influenced by the world anymore. So I want to do all I can physically to keep the world out. In verse 14, he says, after what? After he was brought back to the kingdom, after he realized that the Lord was God, then he said, after this, he built a wall without the city of David. Folks, how many walls do we need in our lives? As many as it takes to keep Satan out. Right. You see a weak area in your life, then you need another wall. Let God build it. He's the great master builder. Now, after this, he built a wall without the city of David on the west side of Gihon in the valley, even to the entering of the fish gate, encompassed about Ophel, and raised it up, what? A very great height. We're not supposed to make any provision for the flesh. We're supposed to flee youthful lust. We're supposed to do all this stuff. He said, I'm not going to let the enemy come in anymore to the best of my ability. Folks, that's what we need to do. And put captains of war in all the fenced cities of Judah. So he experienced restoration of God. He knew the reality of God. He realized the danger from physical enemies. And then he realized the danger from spiritual enemies. Ephesians chapter 6 says, we wrestle not against what? Flesh and blood, but against what? Powers and spirit and spirits and principalities and spiritual wickedness and what? High places. He was one of them. He was one of them. In verse 15, he says that he took away the strange God. When you have a definite turnaround, you come to a defining point in your life, God will change you and you'll do differently. That's what repentance is. It's a 180. It's a 180. All the things he'd done bad, he's not doing that anymore. He said he took away the strange gods and the idol out of the house of the Lord and all the altars that he had built in the house, in the mount of the house of the Lord and in Jerusalem, and cast them out of the city. What do you need to cast out of your life this morning? You need to turn around, have a defining moment. Let God change you. Let God change you. And realize the danger from physical things. Realize the danger from spiritual things. In Psalm chapter 7, verse 10, it says, my defense is of the Lord. We talked about this last Sunday night. That our reliance is on God. My defense is of God, who it's what? Saveth the upright in heart. It doesn't say in there, he's going to save everybody. He saves the upright in heart. You have to have a turnaround. You have to have a turnaround. So he experienced the restoration of God. He knew the reality of God. He realized the danger from physical enemies. He realized the danger from spiritual enemies. And he realized the necessity for worshiping God. Everything we do should be an act of worship to God. And whatsoever you do, do it what? Heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men. His focus changed. His perspective changed. In verses 16 and 17, it says, it repaired the altar of the Lord and sacrifice thereon peace offerings and thank offerings, and commanded Judah to serve the Lord God of Israel. Look at the offerings that he did. He also did some sin offerings too. But he made peace with God. He was in a spirit of thankfulness to God. Folks, that's a turnaround in people's lives. People are not thankful today. People just want to get their little things. You notice that every time that you do something online or on the phone, will you please stay by for a quick survey? Tell us how good we did. No, we're supposed to just do what we're supposed to do. Let God tell us how good we're doing. And commanded Judah to serve the Lord God of Israel. Nevertheless, the people did sacrifice still in the high places, yet unto the Lord their God only. Here's the point. Once you start something, you can't go all the way back. God will restore. But in this case, they just took down the idols and they took down that. But the other places that people were worshiping, they were worshiping the right God, but they were doing it in the wrong place. So sometimes turnarounds don't get you back to where you were or where you should be. But that shouldn't stop you. But I want to leave you with this one thought. Did the turnaround last? I know of many people that said, I'm going to give my life to God. I'm going to give up this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to try everything I can. And they start out real good. About 2 or 3 days later, it stopped. You really didn't have a defining moment with God, did you? Because you had a defining moment, God, that changed everything about you. Not just the things you want to give up. See, that's the issue here. In verse 18, it says, now the rest of the acts of Manasseh and his prayer unto his God and the words of the seers that spake to him. There's that thing about he didn't hearken. Okay? In the name of the Lord God of Israel, behold, they are written in the book of the kings of Israel. But you know the sad part about it is, we don't know about Manasseh's legacy. We do know this, his son Amon was a very wicked king. We do know this, that Jeremiah came up and said, because of the sins of Manasseh, the captivity is coming. We do know all this, is basically, you know, the point is don't go there in the first place. Once God gives you a turnaround, don't go back. Don't go back. There's a parallel passage in 2 Kings chapter 21 of Manasseh. It doesn't even mention this. It just basically mentions the negative. Okay? And so the point is that we don't know how long Manasseh... Obviously he did all those things because the Bible records it. But did it last? Folks, God wants a turnaround in your life that will last. Not just a temporary thing. Not just to make you feel good. Something that will fundamentally change your life. So that your circumstances don't need to change. You've changed. And you'll look at your circumstances differently. And you'll follow God. See, my question this morning as we close. Has God turned your life around for good? Has God turned your life around for good? Do you know Him as your Savior? Don't play around with salvation. You either know Him or you don't. You either know you have a home in heaven or you don't. And if you don't, you need one. Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. He was buried, and the third day He rose again to show that He has power over death and over sin, and He has the ability to forgive you your sins and give you a home in heaven. You need to receive Him as your Savior today if you haven't done that before. Folks, for us as believers, do we need to turn around our life? Is our life going the wrong direction? This has been a trying year. It's been trying stuff. Do we need a turnaround this morning? If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just, forgive us our sins, and cleanse us from what? All unrighteousness. He will allow us to start over. Have your start over today. And if He's given you a turnaround and you're doing everything you can for God, keep on doing it. Keep on doing it. I encourage you today to do that. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You for this time. Lord, I just ask You this time of invitation. Father, search our hearts and help us, Lord, just to live for You. Father, someone does not know You as Savior, Lord, today, I pray that this would be the day of their salvation. Lord, have Your Holy Spirit have full reign right now. Today. Father, someone here that wants to consider joining our church, Lord, and ministering with us, Lord, today might be the day of their decision. Lord, whatever You want us to do, Lord, help us to do it. We ask these things in Your Son's Jesus Christ's name. Amen.